dinner dates are here, and they're hungry. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne. This is Hockey Nation on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
But we are having hamburgers on for pregame meal.
Well, Toronto Maple Leaf head coach Peter Horachuk, retaining his sense of humor. Probably his sanity's been questioned, tried the last number of games, of course, as they get set to take on the Ottawa Senators tonight, the Toronto Maple Leafs, Ottawa Senators. We welcome you to Hockey Nation on Sportsnet 590, the Fan Radio Network. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne.
Just as you said that, up on our screen as we're watching the start of PJ Stock, there he is in the Hamburglar, eating a bunch of burgers on the television set. So that was perfect.
Sportsnet 360 now. He has got the perfect McDonald's Hamburglar costume. And I am trying to think. Honestly, I bet you ask an average kid who is a goaltender for the Ottawa Senators, and they don't know Andrew Hammond's name. They just know the Hamburglar. I mean, this has been one of those sensations. I'm trying to think of a comparable of a team that was out of it, that being the Senators. They get back in it, give them full marks, and then this unknown goaltender, Andrew Hammond, becomes the guy.
Well, there isn't a comparable. The only type of goaltenders that come to mind, and I've heard people throw out the likes of Kenny Dryden back when he was a rookie, Steve Penny with the Montreal Canadiens.
I was just going to say,
right?
Steve Penny.
I mean, he would have been one of those guys. You could have said Jim Craig and the run that he had at the Olympics and then did not materialize into any type of a National Hockey League goaltender. What Devan Dubnyk's been able to accomplish this year after his career basically was in nowhere land.
I know, but he was known before.
Andrew Hammond.
Okay,
so you don't have to put me down about that.
Well, you should just do some research maybe. It would help a little bit. So Andrew Hammond signed as a free agent by the Ottawa Senators in 2013. He's from Surrey, BC. Played four full years at Bowling Green University. And last year, the Sens had him down in Binghamton. Mm-hmm. So second year pro.
Under Luke Richardson.
And under Luke, you always give Luke some props, as we should. 27 years old. So, you know, one of those guys that got into professional hockey late. This is at 25 was his first year.
So, and, you know, so you might be able to say something like, well, what about a Tim Thomas? I mean, when did he first become a real legitimate National Hockey League goaltender where he toiled? I mean, his journey in the game was quite incredible.
But his first 10 or 12 games, did he? I'm just, you know, no question.
Okay, Patrick Lalime. Well, you know what? He had that type of run. And I remember because I was an assistant coach in Cleveland, and we were the affiliate with the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Okay, so you're throwing Patrick Lalime in there.
Patrick then got called up to Pittsburgh.
I thought you were calling me Patrick Lalime.
No,
I didn't get it.
No.
Okay, so Patrick Lalime got called up.
And then he went to Pittsburgh and did lose in
Lights
how many
out.
Games?
That's
15
probably,
games, maybe?
You know what?
Right.
That's probably
Thank
a great
you, Gordon.
Comparable.
Yeah.
Years ago, a guy named Jim Bedard was another guy, came up for the Washington Capitals all those years ago. But either way, tonight, the Toronto Maple Leafs, Ottawa Senators. Of course, Hockey Nation will look at the 13 games going on around the National Hockey League. Nick Kiprios will join us in a few minutes' time. Denny Potvin will get a Hall of Famer chatting about those Florida Panthers. They still have aspirations of making the playoffs. Eddie Olchuk from NBC and the Chicago Blackhawk broadcast crew. And Gary Galley will be part of the coverage tonight along with Bob Cole on Hockey Night in Canada. And also a big part, Hockey Night in Canada, as we mentioned, Nick Kiprios joining us. How you doing, Kipper? Got you, Kipper? Nick, press one if you're okay. Press two. Sounds like we have him there.
Maybe he's having one of those hamburgers.
He might be. But you know something? Let's try him again. I think he's probably in a bad spot in the CBC building there. Sounds like he's there.
Hello.
Hey, Kipper. How are you, man?
What's going on? We're just we're watching our pre-game show that started at 5 o'clock, and PJ had the Hamburglar outfit on, eating about 20 hamburgers. It was the funniest thing I've seen.
Now, are you dressed as Mayor McCheese?
No, but we're still waiting to see if John Shannon comes out as who's the third guy in that commercial? Would it be McGrumpy or something?
That's right, something like that. Something
Grimace.
Like that.
Is it Grimace?
I don't know. But whatever. Odds
Come
are.
Come on, Gord. That commercial is right into your wheelhouse.
I used to go to P&S Burger and Johnny's Burger. I don't know. We'll find out what gives. Hey, I want to ask you because I know you're tied up, busy. Following the Hamburglar on TV, you know, Phil Kessel took exception to remarks about the effort and what have you. You're a guy, Kipper. Like I never talk about guys, the effort, choking. I don't use words like that because I didn't play the game. You played the game. Ozzie played the game. How do you describe really pathetic starts and the overall play for the Maple Leafs are the worst team in the NHL since December 18th.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think anything you can describe will do it justice. I mean, there's a level of frustration, and it's just not Peter Horchuk or Brendan Shanahan or Dave Nonis. It's the players, too. I cannot believe for 1 second that you step on the ice, if you're Phil Kessel or Phaneuf or any of them, and the intention is not to do the best that you can. But right now, it just seems like the downward spiral right now is unstoppable. And, you know, the more you try to change it or fix it, the worse it gets. I've never seen anything like it, to be quite honest with you. You know, Gord, you've been around a long time. Is there anything comparable? You know, we talk about this all the time with Damian Cox on whether this is worse than anything you guys covered in the 80s.
Well, yeah, I did my article on sportsnet.ca this week. It covers the 84-85 team, which uses the benchmark. And the big difference, Kipper, is Courtnell, Iafrady was 18, Courtnell was 19, Lehman was 20, Gill was 20, Reggett was, you know, Stevie Thomas was 21. I mean, there were guys like that making, it was expected that year, and there were guys, young guys, making serious headway. Big difference.
You know what? Big difference. The other difference, guys, social media. It just seems like, you know, even if you're Joe Schmo now, you got a vehicle or a platform to really voice your displeasure. And that's something that, you know, a lot of fans didn't have. You can go to a game and boo. You know, you can throw a popcorn box on the ice at the end of the game. But today, social media has poured gasoline on one of the worst seasons in Leaf history.
Nikki, I just want to do a little comparison because, you know, often Gordon and I have talked about it. I haven't experienced anything as a viewer or in the media with this Maple Leaf team in particular. And I remember my rookie season in Detroit. I mean, we were not a very good team, but everything was so raw. You were just glad to be there. What about for you in your career, you know, 89, 90 Washington Capitals?
Yeah.
I mean, anything like that?
When I got traded from Washington, we missed the playoffs in Hartford, and you know, with the exception, I think, of Ottawa, you know, it was a tough year for us. But like Gordon mentioned, you know, we had a younger team. Jeff Sanderson was just establishing himself as a 35-40 goal scorer. Pat Verbeek, of course, was a solid, you know, all-star winger. But everything kind of went downhill for that organization the moment they traded Ron Francis and Ulf Samuelsson and then try to, you know, spin it into John Cullen and Czarly Zalapski. And it never went its way. But we could always, you know, hang our hats on the fact that we were young and experienced and growing, you know, as a team. Things derailed a little bit when Brian Burke left. But it wasn't anything like this. And let's not forget now, fans are starting, you know, after 10 years to really educate themselves with the salary cap and the damage it can do if you're in long-term contracts and not being able to buy yourself out of a mess or sending a guy in the minors who happens to have a no move. All of that fuels the frustration and pours gasoline on the fire in terms of feeling now that it is long-term damage to your organization when you get into contracts that you can't buy yourself out of.
How do you divvy up the blame, ownership, management, coaching, players then? Because this is not a team like the Buffalo Sabres that is set up to do a rebuild. This is a rebuild after the fact.
Well, this may be, you know, how long does... You know, a rebuild is to strip it down and build it up. How long do you need to strip it down? Like, you know, it's certainly not happening, you know, at this past trade deadline. And it may not happen at the next trade deadline. It may take a little while for this thing to bottom out a little bit. So, you know, you add that into the equation. But, you know, Gord, I mean, everything starts from the top and works its way down. And, you know, I look at a guy like Phaneuf, who had the weight of the world on his shoulders, not only to try to find a game that really he had in Calgary that thought that he'd be running for Norris trophies for many years to the captaincy, and it was just far too much that he could handle. And then now all of a sudden the conversation goes from, you know, Phaneuf's not that good to, you know, why was he in a position to, for anyone to believe that, you know, he was that type of player. You know, he's Larry Murphy of this generation, a guy that can still go to another team and probably play very well in the third or fourth position and quietly play 20 minutes a night and be a guy that can help win a Stanley Cup, but just not the number one guy who can carry the load or lead a team. You know, that's not Phaneuf anymore.
Yeah. Kipper, I gotta change subject lines because I got about 3 hours with Gord talking Maple Leaf hockey for the rest of the night. So
I feel for you.
Yeah, let's move over to the you recently returned back from Florida where the GMs met, and just kind of out of curiosity, your take on the possible 3-on-3 in the future for overtime as a former player. I mean, yeah. Do you like this thing? Is it too gimmicky or what?
I think I'd like it a lot more if I would have been one of the star players to have played 3-on-3 hockey. You know, I probably would think that they're trying to make the best out of a not great situation. I don't think we can go backwards and have tie games anymore. The shootout isn't going anywhere because Gary Bettman loves it. But can we end more games on the ice in a somewhat team atmosphere opposed to a skills competition? So I think this is the best out of a bad situation. I don't want to see any more minutes. Like, come on, 65 minutes. That's enough. We don't have to go to 67. I mean, we got the guys out there long enough at 65. So if that's the case, then just go to 3-on-3 right away. I still don't like the fact that 60% of your bench becomes spectators now. Is it going to be like baseball? Can they actually just go to the showers early and really don't have to watch the rest of it knowing that you're not going to play?
And should the coaches wear a uniform?
That's right.
We will. I got to let you go because I know you got to get to work. By the way, the guy's name was Grimace.
That's what I said.
Yeah, you got it right.
I got it right, Grimace.
And we look forward to, you know, you and Ozzy, you're from the East End, so it would be it would be Johnny's, and you're from the West, so it would be Apache Burger and Magoo's, right, Simon?
No. J.A.'s.
Oh, Johnny Anderson. I forgot
Johnny
about that.
Anderson.
Yeah, we got to be loyal to the former Leaf.
That's right.
Absolutely. That's right. And memories of that 84-85 team. That was his last year.
That's right.
As he headed out of town. Kipper, we'll catch you on the tube tonight. Thanks for making time.
Have him a happy night, guys.
We will. Smiles are free, by the way, yeah. Ozzy. You know that, right?
No. Kipper sounds a little bit down for some reason. I don't know what he's got to be down.
He sounds down.
I don't know.
The buoyancy of being on our show.
Well, you know what? Interesting part, and the first thing in thinking about the GM meetings, of which Kipper just got back from, and, you know, the traction that 3-on-3 is getting in the American Hockey League, and I've talked to players, they like it. They like it in the American Hockey League. And I'm thinking back to when, during the lockout back in 94-95, and I was part of that team with Kipper after they won the Stanley Cup, and I remember we were training and thinking and getting ready for possibly the return of hockey with Gary Bettman's first lockout. So we're getting into early January, and we start training and playing on the ice. Well, we played 3-on-3 hockey, and by the way, Glenn Healy was that guy in net where you just divvy up the ice, and it would only be from the blue line in. You play 3-on-3. So it was myself, Brian Leetch, and Eddie Olchuk. I mean, those two guys, me with him, pretty good. We played against Zubov, Kovalev, and Nemchinov.
Wow.
We never touched the puck, okay? You know what I'm saying? Like, that was that's my memory of 3-on-3 hockey against those, you know, three skilled players.
And you had a Hall of Famer like Brian Leetch.
Had Brian
no
Leetch.
No disrespect to yourself.
And Eddie Olchuk, and I was just positioned basically in front of the net, and just doing anything to make sure I blocked the shot for Glenn Healy, because you knew you had to do something to help Heels out, right? When it came down to 3-on-3 hockey.
You're saying Heels wasn't a very good goalie, or just...
I didn't say that. Why would you say that?
I'm sorry, I just heard something. I didn't know how you help Healy.
Anyways, you look at those star players, and anyways, I know I've regressed a
little
bit.
Would you like it, though? Would you like it, the 3-on-3?
Well, we play 3-on-3 up at my Gartner's rink, and you got to love it as a former player because of what ends up happening with the fact that you do have odd man rushes, and those are scoring chances. That's what you're trying to generate and create. And I think eventually it is going to occur, but But again, how long do you play overtime for? Are we going to extend it by a couple of more minutes now? And
well, till 10 minutes. Yeah, you're going to add 5 minutes of 3-on-3.
So 5 minutes of 4-on-4. Nothing's decided. Let's put another 5 minutes. Are we flooding the ice? Are we scraping the ice?
I don't know.
We got the girls out there every minute. I don't know. Like,
what girls are you talking about? Well, are the ice scrapers?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever been to one of those tournaments? We were one, like Niagara Falls, New York has those tournaments. Like it's a tournament.
No, sorry. I was on a minor hockey dad.
Okay.
Apology.
You can, you know, free. The rinks are free to go into if you have any interest in minor hockey. You can just walk in. It's not a big deal. So anyway, they had overtime, and it was how did it work here? Was it 4 minutes of 4-on-4, 3 minutes of 3-on-3, 2 minutes of 2-on-2.
Come on, don't tell me that.
1 minute of 1-on-1, honestly. And then it goes back to 4-on-4. So when it was, by the time it was 2-on-2, like it was four different rink pads, everybody moved to that rink. And it actually didn't get decided on 2-on-2. 1-on-1 was funny to see. Like and it was just for a minute. Then they went back to 4-on-4 as per the rules, and somebody scored on the 4-on-4. But just the interest and fascination, it's like a penalty shot. Penalty shot in a game. Everybody stops and watches the game.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I mean, it's going to get to 3-on-3 in the National Hockey League level. I think everybody could live with that. And I know, and some of the appetite, and I've talked to players again, is with the 3 points, the 2 points, the 1 point. Nobody likes that. I don't think Gary Bettman likes the 3 points, you know, points for a win in regulation. I think what they like is how close things are these last many, many years with the playoff races, with the 3-point games. And so many teams are in it right up until the last few weeks of the season, right? We don't know what that's like here.
No.
Pity us.
No, and I asked Kipper, it was a little bit too much of a, too big a question about just, you know, where they are. I mean, here's the stat, where I got the stats here about the Toronto Maple Leafs. I mean, they have the worst record in the National Hockey League since December 18th.
I know, Gordon. Eight wins.
41 games, yep. Averaging 1.9 non-shootout goals over that span. So this was a team averaging over 3 goals, was number one in the NHL in goals scored, was in the playoffs, and then have been, and
But all it's done is further magnified the real core issue that many people thought prior to the ship going down or Randy getting fired, and you got what you wanted.
Well, management ownership didn't think that, or you don't sign those guys to those contracts.
No, but you got what you deserve. I mean, the players or the inmates that were running the asylum, and that's basically how Glenn Healy has always put it here. Over the course of time here with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Well, let's call a spade a spade. That's exactly what it is. We'll cater to the better players, try to somehow, because in today's generation, as you know, you can't be the hard-nosed type of guy. Got to stroke them, got to encourage them, got to communicate better. Well, they got it. And how have you done? How have you done lately, son?
Well, even you go back to and again, I make a lot out of Salutegate, but you go back even to the summer. I mean, Brendan Shanahan is saying, give me time to make evaluations on the ice. Off the ice, he rinsed assistant GMs. He rinsed assistant coaches. He rinsed Pat Park and the entire public relations staff. I like the new guys, Steve Keogh and that. I mean, I've gotten but just in a sense, a lot of the word was some of the veteran players said, oh, the PR guys aren't protecting me enough. Mm-hmm. So okay, we'll get in it. And then you go out and said, oh, you know what? We lost a game and they booed us. So the next game we win, we're going to stick it up their wazoo. You know, as far as
do you think any other organization has ever been through anything like this before? Do you think that there would be any players in class organizations that would even make that suggestion?
Well, that's why I'm
management. That's what I think. Are you kidding me? Really? Really? You're going to pay attention to that? You're going to pay attention
to
that as a president?
To something.
Well, they did. Yeah. They did. And again, I would say, wow, I'm just shocked by that news. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, anyways, and that's, again, I would say the same thing to you, no disrespect to the current guys. Everything's great. But that's how far we've had to come to try to change the culture of what we've been or has been suggested here at MLSE with the higher-ups.
Well, Denny Potvin will be joining us in a few minutes' time. But before we leave this, we'll come back, of course, Leafs Nation pregame. We'll hone in on the Toronto-Ottawa game a little bit more then. But, you know, kind of a strange one as well. A guy like Eric Brewer, he's had very few games as a member of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Is this his 1,000th game tonight?
1,000th game tonight. A guy won a gold medal in 2002 with Team Canada.
Wow, how did you pick that up?
Well, it's all over the notes if you read them. Okay. Anyway, I didn't know on the top of my head. But but what a strange environment to, you know, he'll get the silver stick tonight. And
well, you mentioned that right from the get-go. Like, yeah. You've been talking about this off air.
I just can't count well.
To Matt and I every day. Well, look at this. He's going to get a silver stick. What's that going to be like?
Well, the silver stick will be nice.
Is it going to get presented on Monday night against the Minnesota Wild?
I guess that would be. You do it at home. Yeah. That's right. You don't get it tonight in Ottawa. So you get it. Jimmy Gregory will be the guy.
I wonder what the atmosphere will be like on Monday night.
They'll probably say, "Who's Eric Brewer?" But I'm just like, you know, a great, solid career. But what a weird environment. Yep. Probably a trade that he couldn't have been happy about. You know, at this stage, you know, when you're a veteran, you don't like to be moved around. You don't like to be moved to a team that's not going to be in the playoffs. And then you come here, and you know, it continues the downward slide. And yet, amidst it all, you're going to get honored for quite an achievement.
Oh, absolutely. That is a great thing. No question about it, to play 1,000 games regular season, which, by the way, I'm still bitter about that whole thing. Like, how come playoffs are not included in that? Like,
any cases you can want to bring to attention? How many
19 regular season games, 87 playoff games, but no, I didn't get my 1,000th game.
So which would that equal if you add it together?
1,006.
Okay.
I memorized.
Why don't you slide down Monday? I'll slide you on the ice there. We'll find out. There's probably a
maybe I should present it to him, right?
And just
be part of the Leaf
and
alumni.
Hold it. Like, you're the only guy who doesn't let it go. That's all of a sudden Eric Brewer. Here's Leaf alumnus Mark Osborne to give you the silver stick, and then you don't let it go. Oh, boy. We will come back. We'll head down to Florida away. Gary Galley will join us later on talking about the game tonight. Eddie Olchuk as well. It's Leafs taking on the Ottawa Senators. But for the next little while, we look at all 13 games going on around the National Hockey League. Hockey Nation with Gord Stellick and Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and The Fan Radio Network.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Welcome back to Hockey Nation. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, The Fan Radio Network. They're getting set for tonight's game between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Ottawa Senators, but taking a look around the National Hockey League, 13 games all in all this afternoon and tonight.
That's 26 teams.
Did you think people out there struggle to do the math? Yeah, that's 26 teams. Thanks, Oz.
Oh, you know what? But Saturday nights are great because I look at the schedule last night of which you were working. Right, that's on correct. Hockey Central, there was only three games.
I know. You know, and you know, Sam, I'm probably hard on you because, you know, last summer I got to work the playoffs with a Hall of Fame legend, broadcast legend, and so I'm probably harder on any broadcast partner since then because Danny Potvin was a pleasure to work with last year on Sportsnet. Of course, now he is the color voice of the Florida Panthers, and he joins us. How you doing, Danny?
Hey, Gord, I miss you too, buddy.
It was fun. And Oz is doing great. Oz is the Ranger-Islander rivalry.
Hey, Danny, let me tell you something. You would miss him, but if you start working with him on a regular basis, that would quickly disappear.
Well,
all right.
Let's talk about your Florida Panther team. And as far as we're talking playoff runs, and certainly the Western Conference, it's quite jammed. The East, some interesting teams like Ottawa entering the mix. Your Florida team, as far as if you're going to make it, the biggest challenges over the last dozen games?
Well, you know, you certainly hope so. The one thing that the Florida Panthers wanted at the beginning of the year was to be in the mix, you know, in March, and that's exactly where they are. Both the Bruins and the Florida Panthers are in a position where maybe Ottawa might be taken over because the Senators are playing very well, but this is really the most meaningful game of the year, I think, for the Florida Panthers, and Jaromir Jagr hasn't been here very long, and already he's labeled it a Game 7. And I think he has been such a pillar to lean on for the young Florida Panthers, particularly the two guys that he plays with, and Barkov and Huberdeau, that I think he also wants everybody to recognize that you got to be all in tonight. The Bruins are in town, first of three meetings before the end of the season.
Well, Danny, just out of curiosity, health-wise, I mean, the last time, and Gord and I are on our own hands are looking, who are the teams the Maple Leafs have beat of the last month or so? Florida being one of those teams when the whole goaltending thing occurred with Al Montoya and Roberto Luongo both getting hurt. What's the situation with Florida going down the stretch injury-wise? Is everybody healthy, raring to go?
Well, Al Montoya is not going to be in around the rink for quite a while. I don't think that we're going to see him for the rest of the season, although Dan Ellis has really filled in capably while he was in and the number one goaltender. Last game against Detroit, that 3-1 victory, Roberto played as well as I've seen him play all season long. So obviously his injury, the upper body injury, is fine. He's feeling great. And the schedule is very good going forward because I don't, you know, except for, Montreal, Ottawa, there is no back-to-back games the rest of the year. So there's going to be plenty of time for rest. And I would imagine Roberto is going to play most, if not all, of the games going forward.
You know, I wonder on a bit of a different slant here. Your time with the Islanders, I mean, you won Norris trophies and you also won Stanley Cups. And the San Jose Sharks and a guy like Joe Thornton, and I just, when you look at a rap a guy gets because he can't or he hasn't been on a team that's won the big one, I mean, how do you look at a guy like a Joe Thornton who's an excellent player, but also it seems like Mike Modano did or Brett Hull did or guys like that till you win it? You always have that little caveat with you.
Well, there are people in the Hall of Fame that haven't won Stanley Cups, and I think that Joe Thornton may just be that kind of guy. I don't know, and I'm really happy that I can't answer that question really well, not having experienced it. But the fact is, winning a Stanley Cup is what everybody ends up playing in the NHL for, and there is something missed. I mean, Marcel Dion, obviously, you know, one of the great, great players in the game, you know, never really had a chance playing in L.A. at a time when they didn't have the great teams, but certainly, without a doubt, was in the Hall of Fame. I think the situation in San Jose, I've not been a fan of what's been going on there for a couple of years. You know, I know Doug Wilson very well. I know Joe Thornton. It's not a personal thing in my opinion of them, but I'm just thinking it may be time for them to part ways in some way. But that organization has just been on the cusp too long and not been able to make it happen. So I expect there's going to be a lot of changes there over the summer, and there should be.
Yeah. Danny, I want to get back and talk a little bit about the Florida Panthers. And in particular, you back in 1973 went first overall. Now, you giddy up fast forward 2014, Aaron Ekblad went first overall. A lot of talk about him being a Calder Trophy leader, I guess, as far as that individual award goes. What are some of the things that you've observed in Aaron Ekblad or even some of the conversations maybe you have had with him in being in similar situations? What kind of advice have you given Aaron Ekblad or you gleaned from conversations with him?
Well, I tell you, one of the things that a young player needs to do is to sort of keep your eyes wide open and listen. You know, you can be confident, you can be cocky, you can be all kinds of things. But one of the things that you really need to do is you need to listen. And it was very interesting today as an example of what Aaron Ekblad has been doing all season long. I just, in my pregame preparation, was talking with Willie Mitchell, and Aaron Ekblad came over and sat down with us, and he kind of really was hungry to find out what it was that we were talking about. And, of course, we're talking about Game 7s. You know, Willie Mitchell last season with L.A. Survived three Game 7s, as we all know. And if this is going to be a Game 7 labeled by Yager for the Florida Panthers, then I thought, you know, it's a good theme for the game. And, of course, Aaron Ekblad comes over and sits down and doesn't really want to add anything. He just wants to listen and talk, and that's the kind of kid he's been all season long. I know he leans on Bobby Orr, who's his agent. I know he's been around, you know, Willie Mitchell all season long, as a matter of fact, living with him. And that part of the game is what you don't see, but it's a big part of why when he gets on the ice, he's totally focused on his hockey. He doesn't have to worry about any of the off-ice stuff. And as an 18-year-old, that's a great thing, you know, leaving home. So I think Aaron Ekblad emotionally has been as impressive as he has been on the ice, where he sort of exudes, you know, the calm and confidence that you want a young defenseman to have. But usually that young defenseman is 24 or 23, but he has just turned 19, and it's been quite an amazing season for him. I'm probably biased, obviously, watching him all 82 games or 81 games. We're going to see he's missed one because of the flu, and he's a defenseman, and he wears number 5. So he should be the Norris, the Calder Trophy winner.
Well, the Leafs retired number 5 for you, didn't they? I guess Bill Barilko, of course. But just on the other side, you talk about the young kid, Danny. What about the other guy? You mentioned Jaromir Jagr, and to bring a guy at that age over, what's impressed you about him?
Well, you know, the young guys talk about his conditioning. I mean, he's on the ice, something he's done forever, you know, of an hour and a half before the game and just testing out his skate. But the fact is I think his conditioning and the length of his shifts and the fact that, you know, he has been playing 200 feet of the ice. We had a couple of situations that we highlighted during games, just in the last couple of games, and one in Madison Square Garden, where he was leading the rush. He was fighting in the corner, and there were both Barkov and Huberdeau's line mates were within stick lengths of him. And I pointed out that I think that's going to be something that he's going to want to talk about when they get to the bench. And, of course, when they got to the bench, Jágr was telling both those guys, stay away from me. Make yourselves available. He wanted to fight and get the puck and then have somebody to pass the puck to. And so those are the things that he's been telling those young guys. And on the very next shift, similar situation, the puck gets turned over. He was the only guy back helping out his defenseman on an odd man rush. So he's playing and you know, playing the full 200 by 85, which is impressive.
Danny, before we let you go, I got to ask you one question. The Nassau County Coliseum closes down at the end of this season. The Islanders are doing pretty well, and I take myself back to having to chase you down in the corner in Nassau with Billy Smith in net and making sure I stood out of Clark Gillie's way. But what's one thing, if it's possible, to just even reflect back on your time as an Islander in that particular arena as it closes down this coming season?
Well, Gord, I think, you know, the first thing I think about is that all of us grew up there. You know, I showed up at 19. I left at 36 years old. So there's a lot of memories, you know, associated with the Nassau Coliseum and, you know, a lot of good times, some really tough times in the late 70s when we weren't making the run for the Stanley Cup and were kind of upset in the playoffs at that time against your Toronto Maple Leafs being one of them in 1978. So, I mean, growing up, you know, in a place like that has a lot more meaning than it would be spending 15 years there now, you know, as a mature adult. So the memories, the fans, and I think the support that we got, considering when we first got there, most people were still Ranger fans, and the way we converted them and the way they hopped on our bandwagon, I tell you, it was terrific. And obviously we'll never forget it. So I am sad that they're leaving. But then again, maybe it's just a new horizon for them, and I'm really happy to see them with a new leader and a new direction. I mean, John Tavares, you know, he could have been one of us anytime.
Well, I'll tell you something. You got to get a game to do tonight against the Boston Bruins. Denny, thanks as always. A pleasure catching up. Thanks very much for your time.
My pleasure. Anytime, Gordon. Take care.
Denny Potvin joining us, color voice for the Florida Panthers. Quickly whipping around another guy who's busy getting set for wow, what a hotbed. They'll be rocking it in Winnipeg. They always do. They host the Washington Capitals, covering it, of course, part of the Hockey Night in Canada coverage tonight. Scott Oak. How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing good. Listen, from a Hall of Famer, Denny Potvin, to me, this show stands a really good chance of sucking now. But go ahead.
Yeah, we got to work on flow and continuity down the road, but we'll get around to that. How about you've seen it all in Winnipeg, from the old Jets when they left and now, and the hope and the want to get some playoff games and all that. And what exactly has happened the last number of weeks? And it must be electric right now.
There is a sense of tremendous anticipation in Winnipeg over the Jets in the postseason. I think for most of the season, because they were solidly in a wild card spot, there was just a general expectation they would be in the postseason. Now they're in a dogfight for a wild card playoff spot. They come into today with a narrow hold in the second wild card spot in the West. The teams behind them, in particular, the LA Kings, seem to keep winning. Teams ahead of them keep winning. So, you know, it's going to be touch and go here. They have a very, very difficult schedule to finish up the season, the last 10, 11 games. I can tell you this, though, if they don't make the playoffs, it'll be a crushing blow, not just to the team, but to their loyal fan bases, unlike in their previous 3 years since they've come, the franchise came from Atlanta. You know, it was almost expected that they would struggle to make the playoffs and miss by a couple of points or five or six or whatever. If they don't make it this year, it'll be worse than the first 3 years when they were almost expected to.
Scotty, I know there was a lot of talk when Kevin Cheveldayoff, made that big trade with Evander Kane and brought over Tyler Myers. You know, lost in the shuffle, I thought, was a guy by the name of Drew Stafford. And I know he's a UFA at the end of the season, but lately, of course, he's been scoring a number of key goals. The Winnipeg Jets have won three in a row. So are you at all surprised by his production as of late as part of that big trade?
Not necessarily surprised, Mark. I think Paul Maurice summarized it appropriately when he says that Stafford has simply raised his game from what it was in Buffalo. And when you're on a team that's contending for a playoff spot, as opposed to one that's in the Connor McDavid sweepstakes, and that'll, you know, happen. He's got, I think, what, five goals and three he scored in the third period. So he's been a key player for them, big-time producer on that line with Scheifele and Wheeler. Stafford and Tyler Myers have, in large part, enabled the Jets to overcome the loss of Little and Bufflin, who's been out now for six games, and Sherratt, been out longer term, along with Matthew Perreault. So if they didn't have those guys, if Chevy hadn't made that trade, I don't think the Jets would be contending for a playoff spot now. So therein lies the value of both Myers and in particular Stafford.
What about the injured guys? What's any updates about them possibly returning?
Little and Bufflin have been out now, as I mentioned a moment ago, for six games. Bufflin skated on Tuesday and looked as though he might play Tuesday night against San Jose, but he plateaued in his recovery from injury. It's an upper body injury. It's believed to be arm, elbow, whatever. But he's not playing tonight. Paul Maurice's judgment on him and Brian Little is that to bring them back now would run the risk of losing them again. So they're going to hold them out again tonight, both those players, but they'll make the road trip with the Jets to Edmonton. They have back-to-back games Monday and Tuesday, Edmonton and Vancouver, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them play one or both of those.
Scotty, who gets the start in net tonight for the Jets? I know both guys at times have been on their game, then they've been off the game. It appears as though that they're back on the game. Who gets the nod tonight?
Well, Pavlik is the big story here because he's got three straight wins after whiffing on that 100-footer by Barrett Jackman in the game against St. Louis about 11 days ago after the Jets had fought back from a 4-1 deficit to tie it. So they had a point in their back pocket, could have won it in overtime or the shootout, and that was just a terrible turn of events. And I tell you, Paul Maurice could not contain his exasperation. Well, I'll put it this way. He barely contained it post-game and the next day. So, you know, the ball was then in Michael Hutchinson's court, but he hasn't been as good since the All-Star break, and now Pavlik has won his last three. So based on that, he gets to go again tonight. He's right now a very positive story, but I can tell you, if the Jets miss the playoffs by a point, a lot of people are going to look back to that St. Louis game.
Well, I know you got to get set for tonight's game. Just want to know as well, are there any big celebs in the audience, like a Snoop Dogg in there, or do you have local Winnipeg people like Burton Cummings or Monty Hall? I mean, what?
I checked the celebrity list, and none of those are going to be here tonight, Gord. So I don't think, I think, you know, sadly, Paul Romanek and Mike Johnson might be the two biggest celebs we have here this evening.
Well, and, you know, you're the biggest guy we have on the show as well, this segment. So it's quid pro quo, I guess, Scott, as well.
Hey, yeah. Well, I really thank you guys for having me on. It's good for my career.
I know it's good. If Scott looks a little sedated tonight, it's after this appearance. No, it'll be rocking. Look forward to tonight in Hockey Night in Canada. Thanks, Scott.
Okay, boys. Thanks a lot.
Scott Oak joining us. The Washington Capitals getting set to battle the Winnipeg Jets.
Well, you know what? And he brought, or you brought up some of the celebrities or possible celebrities. He mentioned Burton Cummings. And the first thing that resonated with me is when a bunch of us lived at Bannatyne in Maine, downtown, there was Troy Murray, Bob Asenza, Danton Cole, myself. Burton Cummings' manager lived in our building.
Oh, really?
And so he had Burton Cummings' old grand piano in that particular building, and the 1 year, I only spent parts of two seasons there, but Burton Cummings was kind of our honorary captain.
Right.
And he would occasionally play the anthem there, and my memory of Burton Cummings was the crowd was a little bit subdued. I don't know if they got used to Burton Cummings being from Winnipeg, but again, my wife, Madeline, just loved his voice and the Guess Who and all that kind of stuff, and yet it's kind of interesting to hear Scott Oak mention Burton Cummings again.
Well, I remember being there, and you might have been with the team as well, probably were, but just that first time I saw Burton Cummings do the anthem, I thought that was great in Winnipeg. He just had the piano or whatever, keyboard out there by himself. You go, wow, this is pretty good. But you're right, probably they got used to it after a while. It was interesting, the story I saw, the background there that, you know, he shows his old house. He lives in Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. That actually the Guess Who were like the other guys were older guys that had a successful band. And someone said, you got to get this young guy in the group. So he was like 4 years younger than Randy Bachman and those guys. And he became the star. So there was that kind of resentment, which eventually is split up and you get Bachman, Turner, Overdrive, right, and whatever, but just kind of like a hockey team in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Well, you know what? Where do you get that? Where did you get that information? Like, did you read up on it? Or?
Life and Times. You know that show, Life and Times? Well, good show. One on Don Cherry as well. One on Burton Cummings. Yeah.
Okay. But I also, I enjoy listening to, I believe Randy Bachman does host some radio show in the evenings on Sunday nights on, I can't say the station.
Well, satellite radio. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, he does a real good job on that, and my wife likes that again.
I don't know why I mentioned that.
But
well, whatever.
We're getting off topic here, but it is, no question about it, a big game. There's a game going on right now that will affect the Winnipeg Jets because sitting behind them in the just 2 points out of the wild card spot is the LA Kings, and so this is the Kings' game in hand, and if they are to tie Winnipeg, the Kings have 33 ROWs, regulation or overtime wins, and the Jets, interesting enough, have only won 29. So those little points, and as Scott Oak did mention, you can't give up those points or those bad goals that might come back to haunt you, but nonetheless, it's exciting for fans across this country when it comes down to Winnipeg, Calgary, and the likes of this playoff push.
Yeah, no question whether you just make the playoffs or don't, you look back to certain galvanizing moments, and as he said, Andre Pavlik is hoping that doesn't become the point that is the point of difference in them not making the playoffs. So Scott Oak, thanks very much to him joining us, Denny Podvin as well, and also kicking things off, Nick Kyprios. Eddie Olchuk kicks off next hour. Gary Galley is in Ottawa. We'll check in with him. More of Hockey Nation. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and The Fan Radio Network will count down to the Leafs Senators game as well.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now you have a reason to crack a cold one before the game. This is Hockey Nation with Gord Stellick and Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome back. Another hour of Hockey Nation with Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and The Fan Radio Network. We're counting down to the Toronto Maple Leafs Ottawa Senators game. We'll talk about that with Gary Galley in a few minutes' time. Also taking a look at the 13 games and all going on around the National Hockey League. And, of course, doing that is our regular weekly visit with Eddie Olchuk from NBC and from the Chicago Blackhawk TV network. How you doing, Eddie O?
I'm doing fine, Gord. It's nice to be with you. Thanks for having me today.
Well, it's nice because we thought this was going to be the roommates of Mark Osborne collage, but then Don Maloney canceled at the last second, so you're it.
Well, he saved the best for the only part of it today,
I guess so. I guess the only guy that can tolerate Oz anymore of all his old roommates, so we appreciate it. Hey, you know, the Leafs and Ottawa Senators, you've been in both spots about teams that are set for the playoffs and teams that are. How much do players buy into being spoilers against certain teams?
Oh, wow, that's a great question. I don't know if it's specifically about. Now, you know what? Let me say this. I do believe in it, especially when it's a rival, and I would consider the Sens a rival for the Leafs. And I think that there's something to that, but I don't know if it maybe goes outside of that. That's how I would probably look at it. I mean, you get up for, you're in a tough spot and, your season's ending quickly and it's what it is. But I think maybe even more so the spoiler role when it's a rival that you got a chance maybe to put a little bit of a dagger in
and their ability to be able to get to the playoffs. So I would say it's probably more that than maybe just another game on the schedule.
Well, Eddie, as Gord did mention, we're covering the Maple Leafs in Ottawa tonight. A great rivalry between the two teams, but there's been a lot of compelling stories this year. The way that Nashville started, they're struggling as of late, but the Ottawa Senators are one team. Did you at all imagine that behind Andrew Hammond that the Senators could be knocking on the playoff door the way that things have gone the last maybe three or so weeks?
No, not at all. You see where they were, when the goaltending injuries hit and they weren't scoring a lot of goals. And, you know, you didn't know if Brian Murray was going to make any changes around the trade deadline. And he pretty much, I don't think he did anything, if I can recall. But, then all of a sudden, you get on a roll and you get a guy that's playing out of his mind and the team is believing. And, you win a huge game against Boston the other night. That was like old-time hockey there when you put up 10 goals in a game. But, not at all. And it's been pretty, it's been pretty darn impressive on what they've been able to accomplish, at least to this point. And, you talk about a team believing. We talked a lot about Minnesota here the last couple of weeks. And, you got to put Ottawa really in that same, in that same area code, just with what's taken place with them and where they've come from and getting a goaltender that is just playing lights out right now. And Ozzie, you know this. When you play in front of a guy that if you give up an odd man situation or, it allows you to play on your toes. It allows you to play aggressive. And there's nothing like it. When a goaltender is in his zone, it allows you to play to your strengths and play comfortable and not worrying about giving up an odd man situation because the puck's got a pretty good chance of going into the back of the net if you don't have that goaltending at that particular time.
Well, Eddie, we talk about Ottawa now making the Eastern Conference playoff race a bit more interesting. What about West? And I don't mean so much just looking at the points, just in general of these bubble teams, whether it's the Kings or Sharks or whatever. Who do you think is really in trouble?
Well, I think the Sharks are just because of their schedule. Now, I will say this, and you guys could double-check and triple-check this. If I'm not mistaken, San Jose has beaten Montreal 9 games in a row. They come off the big win against Toronto the other night, and we mentioned that San Jose had a brutal schedule down the stretch of playing, I think 10 of their last 13 on the road. So, they got hammered in Winnipeg. They went into Toronto and beat them. Now they got Montreal, and they've got some confidence against Montreal. But for me, it's San Jose just because of their schedule, Gord. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. To me, I don't know how that happens. I don't know how that is so-called allowed to be able to, have a schedule be put in front of you like that. And you sit there and go, there's no way that I'm going to allow my team to play 10 of their last 13 on the road. And knowing how close the Western Conference is, I'm still waiting for Calgary to stop. I'm still waiting for Calgary to go away, but doesn't look like they're going to. And it's making life awfully difficult, for a team like LA that seemed to kind of found their game and just can't seem to gain any points. And Vancouver missed an opportunity the other night. I think they lost to Columbus pretty bad at home. So, those are games that you can't let go. But for me, certainly San Jose is a team that, that I think's, in trouble, that's on the bubble in the Western Conference.
Eddie, I know you're going to be covering the game in Detroit between the Blues and the Red Wings on NBC tomorrow. Just out of curiosity, and Detroit's been one of the teams that have been really, struggling as of late, 4-6 in their last 10 hockey games. What do you think is going on with the Red Wings in their recent woes?
Yeah, the last couple of games, they played okay. I think the game in Tampa last night, they played okay. The game in Florida, I think that, the game is coming here. They had some stretches there, even in that good winning streak that they had, that, they were getting timely saves and getting good goaltending. But, everybody goes through it. And they put a lot of points in the bank, which certainly is very helpful. And, the last score I saw for St. Louis, they were down by 2 or 3 goals in Minnesota, so I didn't see a final on that. But, for me, it's going to be a huge game because Detroit has lost a couple of games in a row. They went into Pittsburgh a week ago and just totally dominated a team that just kind of fell apart at the seams in Pittsburgh last week. And then Detroit loses a couple of games
on that road trip at the end in Florida. So, but I just think for Detroit, they're going through a little bit of a tough time. I mean, no Datsyuk the last couple of games. We'll see what his status is for tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah. Minnesota did win the game, so that's one. But you're talking, and we talk about, you know, teams out there and players. And I know you only got about a couple more minutes, but what Alexander Ovechkin, why is he back larger than life? And Barry Trotz, a coach that really didn't have a lot of that in Nashville, has created an environment for him to thrive.
Well, I mean, I think they've got an identity. Gord, we talked about this earlier in the year. I mean, I think they've got an identity, and, you know, he allows his players to play, and Ovechkin's certainly that type of player, but, I mean, he's bought in. I mean, he really has, and, you know, I think he's back comfortable playing his normal position, and Backstrom's had a heck of a year. Let's not kid ourselves. I mean, he's been the real igniter here with Alexander Ovechkin. He's had a terrific year. He's had back-to-back terrific seasons, so that goes hand in hand. But I just think that, you know, there's a relationship there, and Barry Trotz has been around the block, and it seems like Ovechkin's bought in, and, you know, they got an identity. I mean, it's been a long time since, in my opinion, that the Capitals have had an identity. And they come to the rink, they got some big bodies, they got some guys that can score. If they can get some consistent goaltending from Holtby, they're going to be a tough out come playoff time. But, I mean, he is the key, there's no doubt about it, because when he's going, you know, there aren't many guys better when it comes to the offensive side, when it comes to goal scoring. And Ovechkin's had, you know, one of those seasons. Hey, guys, before I run here, I just, you know, a lot's been talked about the GM meetings and what have you, but just want to throw a couple things at you guys. You can chew on it and talk to your people, and then we can have a little conversation down the road. But I'm suggesting, you know, we're talking about getting more offense, getting more pucks into the back of the net, more chances. I'm suggesting is that all power plays go up on the board. So whether you get a penalty, two guys fight for 5 minutes, those 5 minutes go up on the board and you play 4-on-4. If you score a goal at even strength, the late call with the goaltender out for the extra attacker, that guy still goes in the box after you score the goal. Line changes. Nobody can change until your guy physically gets to the boards, because I see it now is that guys are changing 10, 12 feet, just like the old days of the Edmonton Oilers. They may not be getting involved in the play, but they're certainly becoming a part of the play. So stricter rules on line changes and figure out a way to keep the goaltenders protected. But I think you got to look at their pants. The pants, to me, are the key of getting those a little bit more narrow, because when you see goaltenders, those pants kind of explode when they get down to their knees or they're on their way down and there's nowhere to shoot. And all it is, it's like a little bit of Velcro there, and they just absorb it every time.
Well, you know what? Definitely, Eddie, Gordy and I are going to chew on all of these things tonight. It's going to be very compelling discussion. What,
do you think our show's lacking beyond you or something like that? We need topics. Okay.
Thanks for that. We'll definitely put that on the docket for next week. Hold on a second.
But for when you guys, you know, when you guys have your little, you know, your little meeting powwow before and after the show, and you kind of go over things, what you could do better, and who, you know, if you let Gord talk a little bit more, Oz, yeah, maybe the show would go a little bit more clean. But, I mean, just something to think about. I mean, I asked you guys something a year ago, and I still haven't gotten a response on what
We're getting closer, seriously. Yeah.
You know what, Eddie, what I'm hearing from you is your attitude. You know the definition of an attitude is, right?
Yes, it is. A direction in which one leans. And right now, I'm going to lean and jump on the airplane and get
okay. See, lean away. Night, all right? Thanks, Eddie-O.
See you, boys.
Eddie Olchek, what did that? That is the talk and run to the plane, the talk and board.
Yeah, unbelievable.
So,
and
what's the last line?
Oftentimes we would sit in our room and we would get in arguments, or right, we would wrestle, or something, because again, Eddie has had a big ego, right, when we played with one another, and so we'd get in these little spats in the room. And he goes, Oz, he goes, you know, the definition of an attitude is, and I'm thinking, oh, here he is, not educated at all, but now he's throwing all sorts of things. But he goes, the direction in which one leans, and right now you're leaning in the wrong direction, right? So it was all about attitude. And so,
okay, I can tell when you threw that at him. Okay.
The way that we approach the game, and I was kind of trying to tie it all into the attitude of the Maple Leafs and their lack thereof of the way that they approach the game. So,
okay, now so Eddie threw like holy macro. He was like Gary Bettman when the lockout ended and he came out and announced 10 rule changes.
Was he at the GM's meetings?
Well, you don't need to have him. Eddie O can just decree the new rules. So
it's great. It was great though. Yeah. Great ideas.
So any kind of major penalty, he would say you'd play, I guess it comes down to more 4-on-4 hockey. So you got to be really happy if you're the extra guy on the wing and someone else gets a major, so you're playing 4-4 for 5 minutes.
Yeah, and maybe if you got a tough guy on the bench, you might as well pick a fight and say, well, I like our chances against these guys 4-4. But
well, we'll kick it. I can't remember. Hey, Matt, what was the last year we're supposed to get back to him about? He asked something because we had Chris Draper on, and I can't remember what it was. We're taking a straw poll.
He had us. He wanted us to think about something and ask him that again the following week.
Well, anyway, we'll
I
find
can't
out.
Remember. It wasn't that compelling.
Meanwhile, just when we talk about penalties, so the Vancouver LA game. So what's a 5 minute major for Tyler Toffoli? And
I'm assuming they hit on
Alexander Burrows, so it created a power play opportunity which the Canucks capitalized on to get a 2-1 lead over the Los Angeles Kings. But I mean, as we chatted with Scott Oak earlier, this is a big game for both teams, but especially the Los Angeles Kings, and it was a cheap shot. Boy, that was a cheap shot on Burrows by Toffoli, and he left the game hurt. And more importantly, score-wise, it provided an opportunity for the Canucks to score on the power play.
Yeah, you know, and then we had bird's eye view here watching that game of Toffoli chasing down Burrows while shorthanded. So the LA Kings are killing a penalty. And, yeah, Burrows dumps the puck in, and yet he was at a real disadvantage. Yeah, the numbers, the numbers are being faced. I mean, he shoved him into the boards, and, yeah, it's just one of those things you don't like to see. But obviously the referees got it right. 5 in a game, and that's a big goal scored on the power play for Vancouver.
And was it Verbata?
Verbata is 27th of the season.
Wow, probably as good a free agent pickup as there is. And then I just saw Columbus on the other side. Is it still 2-2 there? They're taking on the Flames, had a 2-1 lead, and a nice goal by Anisimov makes it 2-2. So we've got a couple of games in progress that, yeah, have big-time playoff implications for some Canadian-based teams as well. And earlier on this afternoon, we talked about the Minnesota Wild not having one of their best efforts St. Louis not having one of their best efforts against the Minnesota Wild. Brian Elliott pulled, and you start wondering about goaltending. I mean, goaltenders get pulled all the time, but it seems like the St. Louis Blues are one of those teams, like the Anaheim Ducks and a few others, like the Washington Capitals used to be, that like Marc-Andre Fleury again. In the playoffs, you doubts about goaltending heading in the playoffs.
Well, that's your insecurity that's happening right now. You look across the National Hockey League, and you would say that a guy like Brian Elliott hasn't gained your respect.
Correct.
Would I be safe in assuming that?
Well,
look back to last year, and
yeah,
they went out and got Ryan Miller for that very reason, and now this year they feel comfortable with having Brian Elliott, and who's the other guy? Jake Allen. Filled in because Jake Allen or Brian Elliott was pulled in Minnesota. It was 4-0. I mean, before Tarasenko finally scored halfway through the game. So the Wild get out to a 4-0 lead at home, of which, you know, they're 20-11-5 at home now. But again, this Minnesota Wild team, you could even throw Mike Yeo in the conversation of being up for coach of the year. That if you look at the last half of the last 40 or so games.
He's got to win the best tantrum, most constructive tantrum of the year. Because he had that one meltdown, and they haven't lost since, I don't think.
Pales to John Brophy, though. Pales to John Brophy's tantrum.
Well, I know, but this would be a surprise one-off. Brophy would win with consistency and volume and drama and you name it. They Lance Hornby still has a tape of how many times Brophy used the F word in a 2-minute tirade. By the way, it was a game the Leafs had won. That's the part. And went on. It was colorful, to say the least.
Can I tell you just a little bit of a memory of John Brophy? And this is all tied into Hockey Night in Canada. And there was one time during Christmas where Hockey Night in Canada came with a montage of things to the tune of And a Partridge in a Pear Tree,
okay,
right?
Okay, on the 12 Days of Christmas.
Yeah, the 12 whatever. Days of Christmas. And it was the final one was And a Chance to Play with Wayne Gretzky. And every time there was a different pass that Gretz just, you know, tap in for Dave Semenko, for instance. Well, they got to, I think, you know, the 10th day, and it was 10 Brophy tantrums, right? So it was just great, great viz of Brophy just losing it to no end. I wish I could say this because I was talking to Bobby McGill yesterday, and John Brophy's line, when you talk about the Leafs and lack thereof of intensity, John's famous line, he goes, "You guys have got as much intensity as," okay? So It would be, you'd love to hear Brophy in the dressing room with what's going on with this team right now. Like, it would just be class.
What was the in the dark thing?
That was in Minnesota when we were down 3-0. and we were just not in the game at all. And in particular, Al Iafrady, and he came into the dressing room in Minnesota and turned the lights off. He goes, "You guys are like you're playing in the dark. Well, sit in the dark." And he turns out the lights. And there we are. And Boreas Salming, I remember, was right by where the light switch was. And here we are, NHL players sitting in the dark in Minnesota in the dressing room in between periods. And finally he turned around and he knew Al was sitting by the light switch. You know, turn on the light, Al. Come on. And Brof is right at the door with his ear to the door. As soon as the light went on, he burst in and started yelling at Al Iafrady. So that was classic. Those were the days.
Well, yeah, Peter Horchuk yesterday had a, I don't know what to term it. Did he have a meltdown in practice or he just.
He did? Peter did.
Yeah, Peter Horchuk. Not a meltdown, but really during practice and after practice, it seems there's an element that, you know, it's kind of like he gets it. I mean, the die is cast as far as his future as a Toronto Maple Leaf head coach goes. So he's a lot more personable as he kidded about the team having hamburgers today with the whole Hamburglar phenom going in Ottawa, but also seemed to take to task about the effort, the work ethic, a lot of things yesterday at practice.
You know, that's fine internally. And it got me to thinking, has there ever been a time since Peter's been behind the bench where during a game he's called a timeout and lambasted the team and just exploded on them? We've seen, how many coaches have we seen do that in or over the course of this season or in the last number of years? There's been many instances where you can see a coach call a timeout and lambaste his team.
At this point, would it serve any point, in all honesty?
Would it serve any point? Maybe. Maybe. It can't get any worse.
Well, I just...
Maybe there's a time in the first period where these guys have started so slow that you might want to give them a little bit of a verbal barrage.
I have, and I'm not, actually, because there have been one or two times it was questioned early on about why didn't he call a timeout.
It would carry no weight, though.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I just think early on, I think he feels he's been had by some of the guys, that he came in, he played good cop, he was going to get them, he'll play good cop because you're going to play good team defense and we're going to buy in. And he said that, the 5-5-5, they're going to, and they didn't. And they didn't play, and the joke was on him. Well, the joke's on them.
So here's an opportunity for him tonight, knowing, again, Phil Kessel's always responded, Gord, right? At the start of the year when things weren't going very well, he spoke up and said some things, and then the next game
in New York,
he did well.
To his credit, Phil Kessel said, we'll be better tomorrow.
Phil, again, had to address the media yesterday and talking about, again, trying to put a little bit of wedge between him and Peter. And Phil had some things to say. What do you mean we're working hard? What do you mean we're not working hard? Did you see some of the goals that we were on against? Talking about plus minus, minus 35.
I didn't.
Anyways, I think you know my point.
His sentences didn't really make sense either, Phil's.
I'd give him a couple of shifts tonight, and if they're not working, then I'd sit him. What are you going to lose? Big deal. It hasn't happened yet. Has
no,
it?
I know. No, I know. And you know, this is what a night. If you're really like, I don't know. I'm curious in talking. We'll talk to Toronto Maple Leaf fans after the game. This is a rivalry where Ottawa fans would love to be spoilers if the tables were turned, and I think that normally you would as well. But I wonder now if Leaf fans actually have some empathy and admiration for what's going on in Ottawa and saying this is kind of a nice story and don't care as much about being the spoiler. We'll talk about that and other things when we come back with Leafs Nation pregame. This is Hockey Nation, Gord Stelic, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and The Fan Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. It's Leafs Nation pregame with Gord Stelic and Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome to Leafs Nation pregame. Gord Stelic, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Leafs Radio Network. Toronto Maple Leafs getting set to take on the Ottawa Senators tonight in Ottawa, and been some epic playoff run type battles historically between the Leafs and the Senators, and a bit of a change here. It's the Ottawa Senators that are the team on the fly right now as far as on the upswing, and for the Toronto Maple Leafs, it's been quite the contrary. Want to get to our first guest because he's going to be busy tonight doing the call with Bob Cole on Hockey Night in Canada. Pleased to be joined by Gary Galley. How you doing, Gary?
I'm doing great. Doing wonderful. It'll be great night. Battle of Ontario, Saturday night, Hockey Night in Canada with Bob Cole. Can't get much better than that.
Well, absolutely. And do you follow all the Canadian teams possibly? And while Maple Leaf fans are saying, how did this all happen? Ottawa Senator fans and guys like you that cover the team, how did this all happen?
Well, it's hard to believe that if you go back to the last time these two teams played, they would have both been at the 500 mark. Both looking to catch the wild card spot. And since that time, a lot has changed. The Ottawa Senators going 17-6-2 in that time frame, and that's a healthy run. And I think a lot of it had to do, I think, number one, that started with a coaching change. Number two, with a philosophy and how they were going to use their players. A lot of the veteran players that were being used quite often were maybe not being used as much. And the decision to go with the younger players. And what has happened here is the tempo and the rhythm of the Ottawa Senators game has just taken off. They play to an extremely high tempo. They push their opponent. They're just doing a lot of things at a higher tempo, which makes it harder for their opponent to take advantage of them. Things are starting to fall into place. And then you throw in, anytime you need to have a run like that, you got to throw in something that nobody was expecting. And I think that's Andrew Hammond and the Hamburglar, a great story in the whole National Hockey League. And that's really what's transpired here.
Gary, let's get back to talking about Davey Cameron because of the coaching change. I mean, 24-13-6 he is, and obviously Paul McLean had a very positive effect early in his tenure with the Senators. What's the difference between the two guys? And rarely do I see an assistant coach getting elevated, having a real positive effect behind the bench.
Well, you know, I think that Cameron was a guy that the Senators were honing in on before they hired Paul McLean. I think the collapse at the World Juniors kind of created a negative aura around maybe Dave Cameron. So the decision was to go with Paul McLean. And I think when things started to fall apart last year, the warning got fired off the bow that they needed a change from the coach. And I think as much as he tried, the connection with the players just never really got back into place again. And so I don't think it was a hard sell for Eugene Melnyk, who's close to Dave Cameron, to say, hey, maybe it's time to go with this guy, and we're not making him an interim. We're going to make him the head coach, and that's it. And I think this is what's happened. The players knew him as an assistant coach, and you're right, Mark. Oftentimes, an assistant coach doesn't have quite the run that that Dave has had. But I think knowing the players and the players, I think being probably, looking forward to the change, it seems to me, have really responded to him. And he has made a lot of little subtle changes. You look at a guy like Eric Condra, who was a healthy scratch 14 times under Paul McLean, has been a steady player for Dave Cameron and a real solid piece on that third line with Pageau and Lazar that's bringing his team a ton of energy in this run. So they really looked to some guys that they liked, maybe, that he threw in. Certainly the play of Chris Phillips, who was playing over 20 minutes a game, was reduced. They started to give more time to Callan and Greiba and Weirkosh. And I think all of this has kind of manifested into a much more confident team. And again, you can't negate the fact that Andrew Hammond has come in and really shut the door on the opponents and hit some of the imperfections of this team, and has given them some confidence to really push forward here.
You know, Gary, free agency is part of the landscape nowadays, but I think sometimes for smaller Canadian markets, it's always a distraction. Somebody's got one foot out the door, maybe a Spezza, Heatley, and Alfredson. I don't mean like necessarily not liking the Ottawa situation, but always thinking they're going to head somewhere else. And I was really pleased to see Bobby Ryan locked up early on, and now you add Mark Methot that way. And I wonder if, even after the fact, weeks after what Bobby Ryan did, for example, that was a big help when guys like that say, yeah, I'm going to buy into the program.
Well, with so many people leaving, and again, if you're the Ottawa Senators management and your fans in this small market are watching a ton of players exiting, I think what you want to do is you want to solidify a real good player for a long period of time to kind of calm everybody down, show that there is faith in this organization, and that there is players that want to play here. And I think that's something, the signing of Bobby Ryan, that's what it exactly did. It just allowed everybody to take a deep breath and say, hey, we're going to move forward, and guys do want to play here, not just, you know, journeyman guys who are at the end of their contracts or older guys, but more or less guys that are star players like a Bobby Ryan. And I think that that's exactly what that signing did, and I think it proved that for other players in the league that, hey, this is going to be a place to come play, and we're building with young stars. They've given those young guys a lot of rope to run with. They told those guys, as soon as this thing started to change over with Cameron, hey, you're the future. You're the guys who are going to make the changes here. It's time to step up and be players. Not just be glad to be here and striving to find your place, but have the confidence that you are here and play like an NHL player. And I think that's what these young guys have done.
Gary, give us a little bit of an update on Erik Karlsson. I mean, a former Norris Trophy winner under Paul MacLean. Maybe things drifted off a little bit, but I know he's wearing the C. 56 points on the year. I mean, the points are there, but generally speaking, as his leadership goes, but his game all around, where's it at?
I think it's as good as it's been all season. Certainly 11 goals and 23 and 22 assists since Christmas, I think has been a heck of a run. I think that plus 14 since Mark Methot has joined him coming back from his injury. He was a minus 9 when they started to play together consistently when Methot came back. So obviously the two of them have really gelled nicely together. They're good friends off the ice. So that was a big plus 2. And I think the coaching change, although probably Karlsson wouldn't say that's the reason, I do believe there has been a bit of a shift in his attitude with the new coaching change. Really, at the start of it all, he wasn't playing as much as he was under MacLean, but he was playing, I think, a lot smarter. I think some of the risk that he was taking had kind of dissipated from his game. He's always going to be a high-risk player, but the percentages of the risk, I think, is what he has to do. Where most players evaluate, do I take the risk or not? He's like, I'm taking the risk. What's the percentage of the risk and maybe I got to bail out of it? I think he's gotten better at that. But this guy is a producing machine. That's what he does. He puts up great numbers. I know what that's all about and how difficult that can be at times to be playing under those kind of levels where you have to put numbers up. He's the best at it in this league. And I think with the injury to Giordano, it left the Norris Trophy kind of wide open for guys the ilk of the Webbers and the Subans and the Karlsson, especially the second half of the year that Karlsson has had. His first half, not good. But the second half, a lot of people may forget that first half. If the Senators do get into the playoffs, that could be a real big plus looking down at a guy like Erik Karlsson. But, he still makes the blunders every now and then. But, I played with a guy named Ray Bourque, and Ray would come around the net and put one right on your tape up the middle of the ice, turn it over, and then the next shift come right out and make that same play up the middle onto your guy's tape and send a guy in a breakaway. So he makes mistakes, the risky part of his game, but he comes right back out and keeps playing. And I think that's just being a good leader.
Gary, no, you got to get set doing the game with Bob Cole. We do want to have the backs of our media, though. So when hamburgers get thrown on the ice, would Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph get a chance to get one of them eventually?
I think they've had enough burgers. I know that's never going to get back to them. I know.
No, that's right.
But I know you guys will keep it a secret.
It's
for
safe.
Me, but,
yeah.
Yeah. Quite the story. And for the Toronto Maple Leafs coming in, I mean, Ottawa's got 3 games against the Leafs, and the Leafs would definitely want to play the spoiler here. So although out of the race, I certainly think that the guys, if anybody can knock the Senators off their perch here, I'm sure it'll be the Maple Leafs. So I'm looking forward to this one.
And seriously, your story was safe with us. Nobody listens anymore since Ozzy joined the show, so we're fine. Don't worry. Okay.
Hey, don't worry, Gary. Gord doesn't need one of those hamburgers either.
Thanks. So enough. We got to cut Gary. I've got to get to work. Thanks very much, Gary.
Take care, guys.
Gary Galley of the Coors Hockey Night in Canada tonight. There we go. He got all serious then about Leafs do play the Ottawa Senators 3 times, so that's a big part of the journey there. And, as we say, Andrew Hammond, nobody knows his name. I think average kid just knows him as the Hamburglar. Quite a story.
It's been an incredible story, and I'm looking forward to this game. I'm looking forward to watching him play and see how the Leafs actually do react. And, by the way, the other night he gave up 4 goals the first time all season long. I think he's given up more than 2, so stay tuned.
Well, a couple of free agent signings by the Maple Leafs we'll talk about when we return. Of course, the Hamburglar was a free agent signing in 2013 by the Ottawa Senators. So hopefully these can work out that way. We'll come back and set up the Ottawa Senator Leaf game. You're listening to Leafs Nation pregame. Gord Stelick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
It's showtime at Pizza Pizza. Hi, it's Pat Finelli presenting Dinner and a Movie with over $15 in savings. Order a small, medium, or a large pizza with any three toppings, any three Coke, and a free two-for-one Cineplex movie admission for only $13.99. Now playing dinner, drinks, and a movie for $13.99. It's showtime at Pizza Pizza.
9-6-7-11-11-11-11. Driving the V6 Mitsubishi Outlander with all-wheel control feels like this. With seven-passenger seating, it sounds like this. Its 3,500-pound towing capacity helps you haul even this. And its 10-year powertrain limited warranty is like this. Right? Nothing's like that. Get to know the Mitsubishi Outlander by leasing from 0.9% for 48 months on approved credit. Plus, qualified customers get discounts of up to $5,000 on select models. Conditions apply. See dealer for details. Mitsubishi. Built better. Back better.
It's rush hour, and you just want to get home for dinner. You're starving because the last thing you ate was a chocolate bar at your desk.
Then it hits you.
You open the glove box, and there it is. A bag of deliciously tender Jack Link's beef jerky. You pop in a piece, slide the bag of Jack Link's onto the passenger seat, and you and Jack Link's ride off into the sunset. Or at least you would if you weren't stuck in traffic.
When cravings kick in, why not choose a snack that you can feel good about? And that's low in calories, fat, and carbs. Jack Link's has guilt-free snacking in the bag.
Feed your wild side.
Overanalyzing is our business. This is Leafs Nation pregame on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
It's special. I mean, I was lucky enough to be in a few other guys' battles of the game, and the guys and their families were super, super excited about it. And I think it's just such a privilege to be in the National Hockey League for this long.
Eric Brewer will be celebrating playing in his 1,000th career NHL regular season game tonight. He's got a special patch that he'll be wearing. Don't know if he envisioned it being with the Toronto Maple Leafs in this kind of state of things, but all in all, a great tribute for him. Gord Stelick, Mark Osborne, welcoming you back to Leafs Nation pregame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Leafs Radio Network. We'll hear from Peter Horchuk, the Maple Leaf coach, in a few minutes. Ozzie's keys to victory. We'll get our injury report as well. But said about some free agent signings. And first, Oz, last night the Leafs signed Nikita Soshnikov to a three-year contract. He was a 21-year-old playing the KHL at 32 points, 22 minutes with his team Oblast Atlant in Moscow. And so anyway, a lot of stats about him, but we were trying to think about the signing last summer and this season that has not gone all that well. That included the quick visit by Petr Kontiola as well that was ticketed in some ways as having a good chance of making the Maple Leafs.
Well, absolutely. And did he get one exhibition game before he was already
I think he got one, but it was the guy, it was
Marlies. And, you know, the part of that, Gord, is I think they signed him. He was getting 1.1, and it went against the cap.
150 grand of that went against the cap.
Exactly. So they were able to save a little bit, but nonetheless.
And he's left the Marlies.
You know what? If you're going to kind of retool your cupboards, you got to take some kind of chances and risks and hope that one of those, even a college guy that they're talking about right now, who's on the radar from what we understand, this Casey Bailey kid, 6'3" out of Penn State. A lot of teams are knocking on the door. He had 40 points this year with Penn State, a big kid that can score. But you're hoping that it turns into be a Tyler Bozak type of player, or like you sometimes suggest, oh, he could be this type of guy. He could be like a Matt Gilroy who ends up coming
one of those guys. But hey,
Christian Hansen.
Mike Johnson was one of those guys.
Robbie Earl.
Well,
where do you want me to go with these guys?
Let's put like Mike Johnson and Tyler Bozak in different categories than Christian Hansen, then Robbie Earl. The list, you know, goes on and on. It's the kind of thing, guys that have gone through the draft a couple of times. And
Well, they're an older player.
Yeah.
Right? And if you look at the guy, and I remember talking to Adam Graves, who works with the Rangers, and the player that they signed, Jimmy Hayes, right? Was it Jimmy Hayes with the Rangers this year?
Signed the brother. Yeah.
Okay, what's his brother's name?
Jimmy Hayes was a second-round pick of the Maple Leafs.
Okay, that's so Kevin Hayes. Kevin Hayes is in New York.
Yeah.
And you get a guy who is an older type of guy. I mean, he's doing – there's a big kid. That's a bonus to get a guy, a former first-round pick, to step into your lineup and play and contribute.
Okay. No, he was drafted. I'm talking more the Matt Gilroys of the world that weren't drafted and were 24 years old when they came out and Hobie Baker candidates. But
he was drafted, and he did not sign with the Blackhawks, so he becomes an unrestricted free agent,
with the Rangers. Just like Jimmy Hayes didn't sign with the Maple Leafs.
So he decided to sign with a team that went to the Stanley Cup Finals last year. Mm-hmm. You're thinking, well, as a college guy, you got a better chance being on a bottom feeder, right? To play or at least find your way in the National Hockey League.
Well, anyway, as you said, that is not, again, he's from Penn State. We're going to get some info. Eddie Olchuk's one of his sons, plays at Penn State. So we're going to connect with him, get some more background that way. But let's talk about the guys that are in the lineup tonight, and let's hear from the guy behind the bench, head coach Peter Horichuk.
And he's been around for a long time. He's been doing positive things. He's a good guy in our locker room. You can see his experience, and I think that's a milestone that you can be proud of. I mean, there's a lot of things that guys get accolades for, you know, 500 goals and different things along those lines for the offensive players. But players like Eric, who are that strong defensive guy that's been there and doing it for a long time, I think that's really such a great thing to say you've played 1,000 games. It's like the top coaches who have won 1,000 games, or, you know, I know Barry's up there, and, you know, guys like Quenneville and Babcock, those guys are, you know, trying to catch up, which nobody will to Scotty, but, I mean, those are such accolades that you want to be proud of.
A bottle of Ontario game tonight, it means an awful lot to the Ottawa Senators. It's been a while since the two teams played a game that meant something so much to one team anyway. You think it'll bring out the best, or you kind of hope it brings out the best?
I hope it's going to bring out the best out of both teams. I mean, I know they're fighting and scratching to win every game to get into that playoffs 2 points out. And for us, we play them 3 more times, and, you know, we could be a difference maker for them. So I'm hoping that we're going to take the same approach.
Is that kind of a point of pride to knock out the Senators from the playoffs if you can?
I think it's tonight it is, and next game when we play the next team, which is Minnesota on Monday, I think we're going to take the same approach there as well. We've got to take some pride in that we're going to put it out and try to knock them off each team. You know, we want to put that on the line, and I think everyone should be excited about trying.
Will you show your guys any film on this goalie, Hammond, who's kind of come out of nowhere the last little bit?
No, but we are having hamburgers on for pregame meal.
It's a special for tonight?
Eat them up.
How, quite apart from his off-ice story, how can you beat, what's the best way to beat a tall goalie like that? Traffic tips, what's the...
You know, they cover so much net, you know, but some guys are blockers and some guys are more athletic. I mean, Pekkarinen's a little bit athletic being 6'5", and you got Bishop, you know, as another big goalie. But, you know, you've got to put traffic and get second chances. The rebound chances, the tip chances, you got to get people around the net for sure. I mean, big goalies have that advantage, and you see more and more goalies now are that size, and there's a reason for it.
Matching Ottawa's intensity from the get-go is going to be a real challenge here tonight, but you've talked yourself blue in the face to these guys. They have to own up to it, I think, right away.
It comes down to themselves individually. They have to look each other in the mirror, and as a whole group of guys, you know, we have to be ready for them, and we know that they're going to... I don't think it's fair to the other team if we don't put our best on and give them a playoff type of game. You know, we need to go out and play hard. We know we're short in some of the areas, and we've got guys coming up who are trying to put their best foot forward, and I think everyone has to do that and be excited about doing it.
Maple Leaf head coach Peter Horichuk getting set for tonight's game. By the way, Casey Bailey from Penn State, who we just were talking about, Elliot Friedman, reporting that he has, in fact, signed with the Toronto Maple Leafs. So we'll chat more about that a little bit later on, but we'll come down, we'll get our injury update, and Mark Osborne's three keys to victory when we return. Leafs taking on the Ottawa Senators. You're listening to Leafs Nation pregame. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Meadow Green is a new master plan community open now on Mississauga Road. Hi, this is Hugh Heron of Heathwood Homes. If you're looking for a luxurious single-family semi-detached or townhome, you'll find it at Meadow Green. You'll also find fabulous designs, incredible features, and a great location on Mississauga Road, minutes from the 407 and 401. To learn more about this wonderful master plan community, visit Heathwood.com and you'll be home at last.
The combination of power, control, and efficiency is the secret to any great drive. Enduring Acura's Master the Road event, get all three in the 2015 Acura RDX. Experience the V6 engine, all-wheel drive with intelligent control system, and variable cylinder management with a lease starting at $248 bi-weekly for 48 months, 4.18% informational APR with zero down, or receive a $3,500 cash purchase credit on all RDX models. See AcuraGTA.ca for details or visit your local GTA Acura dealer.
When you hire someone to fix your car or do some plumbing or electrical work in your home, you're trusting that person with the safety of your family. How can you make sure that the work will be done by a certified professional? The Ontario College of Trades has now made it possible for you to verify the credentials of trade professionals to ensure they're certified to do the work. So before you hire, check the public register at collegeoftrades.ca, because you deserve that peace of mind.
Hi, this is Jonathan Carroll from TravelNationCanada.com. Life is hectic. Booking your travel shouldn't be. How many travel companies are willing to talk about service? At Travel Nation Canada, we pride ourselves on great service and great deals. Let us take the stress out of booking your travel. Call or visit us at
1-844-5-NATION, 1-844-5-NATION, TravelNationCanada.com.
Every time I tell someone about my new car, they start going on about insurance struggles. Who am I with? What do I pay? What about my accident? It's funny, I didn't think of insurance. I just called Nick. He's my broker at Drivers First. He was as excited about my new car as I was. He knows I'm a good driver and that accidents happen. He gives me the best rate he can, and if something does happen, he's there. Accidents? Tickets? I'm not a bad driver. I'm a recovering driver. And Drivers First gets that.
Drivers First. Operated by Arthur J. Gallagher. Canada Limited.
How's your DIY kitchen reno going?
It's great. I grabbed everything I needed in one trip, from shelving to lighting.
Everything but the kitchen sink, right?
Actually, my BMW X1 fit that too.
Right now, the BMW X1 has monthly payments from $398 with $1,700 down at 1.9% for 48 months, including a cash credit of $1,500. Visit buildmybmw.ca or your GTA BMW retailer before the offer ends March 31st.
And now back to the action. Over to you, Mike.
Thanks, Jim. That's a hot one tonight, folks. He's digging in. Oh, he put some mustard on that. He picks it up again. Little clutch and grabbing. Sausage!
Mike, you mean goal, right?
Nope, sausage. Talking about that guy in the stands eating a delicious Marcangelo Italian sausage. The official sausage of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Visit MarcangeloFoods.com for full lineup, recipes, and contests.
Good call on the sausages, Mike.
Skating circles around the competition. This is Leafs Nation Pregame with Gord Stellick and Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome back to Leafs Nation Pregame. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Leafs Radio Network getting set for the Toronto Maple Leafs battling the Ottawa Senators tonight. A couple out-of-town scores. The Columbus Blue Jackets ex-Calgary Flame Rene Bork scores in overtime. So Columbus beats Calgary 3-2 in OT. And a big win, Aussie, for the Vancouver Canucks 4-1 over the Los Angeles Kings.
Or a big loss for the Kings at home. They're with Calgary gaining that point, even in the overtime loss, are 2 points up in the Pacific on Los Angeles. And the Calgary Flames also have more ROWs.
And, of course, we'll have that all the intermissions. We'll be back for the intermissions and right after the game, Leafs Nation postgame. So talking about the 12 other games that have gone on going on around the National Hockey League. Of course, the confirmation now, Leafs officially announcing they signed free agent forward Casey Bailey, who was not drafted and finished his career with Penn State. So a two-year entry-level contract. He'll burn off that first year this year like has been the case for guys in comparable situations. So we'll talk more about it on the broadcast and intermissions and postgame, but we have a couple of pieces of business. Aussie Injury Report is brought to you by Bergmanis Prera, Ontario's most referred personal injury law firm. Visit us at bplawyers.ca.
Well, as far as the Toronto Maple Leaf injured guys, Stefan Robida out for the season, Roman Polak out for the season as well. Peter Holland is the only guy who's, again, lower body injury, so he's obviously not going to play. But listen to some of these guys for the Ottawa Senators, and yet they continue to win. So Robert Lehner out with a concussion. Clark MacArthur, concussion. Chris Phillips, back. Zach Smith, wrist. Chris Neal, thumb. Craig Anderson, hand. Healthy scratches. Jared Cowan and Colin Greening. And so you wonder, who's playing up front for the Ottawa Senators? Well, the likes of Condra, Pajot are all getting it done. Curtis Lazar, Alex Chiasson. There you go.
Yeah, Curtis Lazar, I think when the hamburger got thrown on the ice, he took a bite out of it, I think, as well. So they're having some fun out there. And you're right, injuries. And the Maple Leafs don't use injuries as an excuse either. They've had a pretty healthy season, and that's added to more of the perplexing state of affairs. By the way, Casey Bailey won't play tonight, but will be in the lineup. He'll be in Monday against the Minnesota Wild, won't he? Is he playing tonight? What are you saying? No? You're going to bring him up? They play right away? He's going to join the Leafs right away.
What do they do? Smuggle him in and bring him to Ottawa?
I got him in Monday, Matt. I'm going to declare he's in Monday. Why not? If he's going to burn off that time, he's going to put him to work.
Let's just hand him a game right away.
Let's put him in Monday. Yeah. That's what I say. Well, we'll worry about Saturday's game right now. Ozzy, you got to focus on the keys to victory. They're brought to you by the Toronto Area Ford Dealers. With so much to offer from the new 2015 lineup, it's easy to get into a Ford from your Toronto Area Ford Dealers.
Well, here they are, Gord. First and foremost, it's got to be the work ethic. I mean, this has to be a starting point for the Maple Leafs. It's been what's talked about. It's what Peter Horacek mentioned again, and Phil Kessel says, what do you mean? We are working out there, really? It's got to be somehow, somewhere, sometime, right off the get-go. Let's get working if you want to have an opportunity to win tonight. Point number two, Andrew Hammond. I mean, 12-0-1, crashed the crease, get some traffic in front of him. He gave up four goals the other night against the Boston Bruins. Maybe if he's wearing that Hamburglar mask, maybe you want to get in front of him and put that over his eyes. So he's 6'1", 216 pounds as a goaltender. I don't know. Chirp him a little bit. Ask him if he's been eating burgers lately.
So attack his weight.
Okay. Attack, anyway, trash talk. Whatever you got to do, get in his grill somehow. And then point number three, I'm going to say this for the Leaf wingers, in particular the left wingers. And I'm saying Richard Ponick, JVR, and David Booth in particular. Kozin, you're one of those guys as well, but you probably won't play very much. Eric Karlsson's the guy that you got to make sure he doesn't beat you up ice. He's having a very good second half of the season offensively. So, again, he likes to jump into the rush, lead the rush. So, wingers, there you go. Do a job on Eric Karlsson. There are my three keys to victory. As if you really do care, because again, you're hoping that the Leafs somehow continue on the Connor McDavid sweepstakes.
I'm not one of those guys that way. The story tonight is interesting. The Ottawa Senators, what a great ride! And if you had the bitter rivalry, the Maple Leafs could play spoilers. I'd like to have seen them play spoilers against the San Jose Sharks earlier in the week. So we will find out. It's usually a pro Leaf crowd in Ottawa. Maybe it'll be a bit different tonight. We'll turn it over to Joe Bowen, Jim Ralph for the play-by-play of all the action. We'll be back in the first intermission. You've been listening to Leafs Nation pregame with Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. Stay tuned and enjoy the NHL action.